The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It is Friday, November 1st. It's the beginning of a new month already, and hope everyone had a great Halloween evening last night. It certainly was one of the warmer Halloweens you're going to experience. I did hear that Albany hit a record of 78 degrees yesterday, or 79, somewhere in that range. Pretty amazing for October 31st, for sure. And it's going to be another warm one today for a little while, and then it's going to drop down a little bit into the cooler temperatures for this evening. There is the very last PCTV high school football game of the week this evening, and that is going to feature a matchup from North County, Drury High School versus McCann. There was apparently a very big game, which we'll talk to our guest about in just a moment here as we await his arrival. Howard Herman from the Berkshire Eagles Sports Department, the PHS team, lost a real close one, but a very high-scoring football game yesterday in an unusual Thursday high school football performance. So we'll talk to Howard about that and all kinds of other things. Certainly the World Series is going to be on our map, and also looking at other local sports that are going on, a Hoop Hall Invitational I definitely want to hear more about. College football, NFL, you name it, the works. We're going to be talking to Howard about this morning. First, let's go to a quick announcement about the WTBR fundraiser that's coming up. 89.7 WTBR FM is proud to announce our sixth annual one-day on-air fundraiser. The event will take place on Thursday, November 21st from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Don't miss our guests, including local dignitaries and your friends and neighbors from the community. There will be plenty of incentives you can win, including restaurant gift certificates, tickets to local cultural attractions, and much, much more. And for each donation of $25 or more, you'll be in the running to win a Thanksgiving feast from KJ Nosh Catering on Tyler Street in Pittsfield. So if you want to get in on that early, and of course we always welcome people to do that because this is our community radio station and this is how we keep it going, you can make your donation to the Rock Box right now. That Rock Box is open at WTBRFM.com. It's right there on the homepage. Just click, and it's very easy to make your donation now. Don't miss that sixth annual one-day on-air fundraiser. One more time, live Thursday, November 21st from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., only on 89.7 WTBRFM, and all day live on the WTBR Facebook page. We thank you for supporting your community radio station. We definitely appreciate that. And, you know, it is the one day a year that we do this. We take all of our programming off, and it's quite an event. If you've ever listened to one of them, they're quite fun to listen to. I know people keep the Facebook page on or keep the radio on all day and listen to our radiothon. It can be a very fun, entertaining day. But of course, what we're looking for there is for people to support and fund the radio station. So certainly looking forward to that. And again, that's on Thursday, November 21st. All right, let's get a quick look at the weather forecast before we come to our interview. And here it is from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny with a chance of showers this morning, then sunny this afternoon. Highs around 70. Temperature falling into the upper 50s this afternoon. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Much cooler with lows around 40. northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Saturday, partly sunny. Much cooler with highs in the lower 50s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you go. It's going to be nice again today, and then it's going to cool off for the weekend. It's going to be good weather to get out there and do some of your last landscaping tasks, getting some of those leaves and things done before we start to see any of that white stuff. You definitely want to get that taken care of. And hey, it's nice when it's in the 50s, right? It's better to do that than having to deal with some of the stuff much, much worse than that. Again, it's 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and I'm happy to say that Howard Herman has arrived. Hello, Howard. How are you? Thanks for jogging in. It's definitely an athletic event getting here for for morning drive.
Jogging in wasn't even the point. I was out so late trick-or-treating last night.
Of course.
You know, it just got to me.
Yeah, it gets you, yeah. So, hey, thanks for being here this morning. Glad to have you. And lots of stuff going on in sports. I just sort of mentioned the high school football season, the regular season anyway, is coming to a close fairly soon. And there was a game yesterday, strangely enough, Thursday night high school football game. That's an odd one, right?
It's not anymore.
No,
it's become a regular thing, not just here, but like all over Western Mass.
Yeah,
that there have been games on Thursday nights because they don't want to have, you know, Friday nights are busy, and everybody has, and most everybody starts to have lights, so some games get pushed off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a, you know, I was not there, but it was a wild moly one.
That's what I hear. And you know, we didn't see it. We didn't cover that particular game. We did. Pittsfield High School versus Taconic the week before, the big city rivalry, which was not a great game. You know, if you like to watch a game with a little back and forth and a little closeness, and that game was not it. But this one certainly was. A 52-50 at the end of the game. That's kind of a crazy score for a high school game.
It was 52-50, and at one point, I believe Pittsfield had a 3-touchdown lead. And Somehow Putnam managed to come back, and what that did was it obviously because later this morning the power ratings will come out and we'll pretty much know, even though there are games tonight, which teams are going to play in the football postseason and which teams aren't.
Okay,
and this may have knocked Pittsfield out of possibly moving up.
Wow, even though basically it was an undefeated season before that.
It was, even though it was an undefeated season.
So one game could potentially knock you out of the playoffs.
One game could potentially knock you out. They weren't in the playoffs as it was.
Really?
Because of their power rating. I believe they were 20th, and it's a 16-team football tournament.
Oh, wow.
So they weren't in it. They needed to win and have some help.
How many teams move on in that conference?
It's a 16-team statewide tournament.
Statewide tournament, okay.
Yeah, it's a statewide tournament, and it's 16 because it's, you know, it takes, you know, so many weeks to play it. It's not like basketball or hockey or baseball where you can play a couple of games a week.
Right.
So you play a game and then you practice and then you play another game, and that loss really has to hurt.
Mm. But it sounds like they put up quite the fight when you get to that level of scoring and having that 3-touchdown lead. That's got to be heartbreaking as well.
You usually think that somebody who is up by that much at a certain point is, you know, has it in the bag.
Yeah.
But not having been there, and there was a story this morning in the paper about it. I have not seen it yet.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, the team from Springfield, Putnam, gave them everything they had.
Yeah. Yeah, and so who does that leave now in Berkshire County for strong teams? Because I know Lee has been a strong team. They're in a different conference or division, right, than Pittsfield.
Well, yeah, Lee. As best as I remember, Lee and Wakona are both in their respective tournaments going into tonight's games. Lee is high enough that they would get a first-round home game.
Wow.
Because they were, as of Tuesday, the eighth seed. And all of that could change tonight.
Mm.
Lee plays Frontier, a team that that they are expected to beat, but it's football.
Yeah, that's why they play the game.
And right? you never know.
Right. Yeah. So and some of the other teams, like for example, the game of the week for Pittsfield Community Television tonight is the North County matchup, the Drury versus McCann, which I don't know if that's a consequential game or not, but it's always a fun intercity rivalry to cover there. I'm sure that there will be plenty of people sort of keeping an eye on that one as well.
If somebody has to win. Both teams have yet to win a game, but both teams play hard. Both teams have gotten better as the season goes on, although both teams have been bitten by injury bugs.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do. And I always feel like with that game, because not only are they both North Adams schools, they're within walking distance of each other if you know your North Adams geography.
Absolutely.
As you make when you make the right turn at the traffic light where Pedrins is and where Walmart is, McCann is right there on the right side. And then when you go around the corner from Channing Cross Road to the street that Drury is on, it's like another block up.
Wow.
What I've always wanted to see for this game is have some sort of North Adams parade thing.
Hmm.
Have the Drury kids get in their uniforms at the high school, walk to McCann, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Because when they play at Drury, they play on Saturday afternoon.
It's a hike up that hill to Drury, though.
It is a bit of a hike.
Yeah.
But they're 16 years old.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not us.
Well, of course, the big rivalry when I was growing up was Drury and Hoosick. I don't know if that's so much a thing anymore because I believe they're in different divisions now. And then, of course, Mount Greylock doesn't have a football team of their own anymore. Is that correct?
They play with Drury.
With Drury.
Yeah. And it's become less of a rivalry because Drury's football numbers have gone down. And they don't play in the same division, and so they don't really even, they don't get on each other's schedules every year, and it hasn't been particularly close. It's too bad because
that's the Red Sox and Yankees.
Well, they're all Red Sox and Yankees because I can always remember back when there were more teams, and
more Berkshire County teams.
And there was not a state playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Next week was rivalry week.
Yeah.
It was Lee and Monument. It was Pittsfield and St. Joe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
It was Hoosick and Drury.
Mm-hmm.
Those games were always, those were always the last games of the last regular season games of the season.
And then there was a Western Mass Super Bowl of some kind, and there was a county championship, I think, that also happened on Thanksgiving Day, didn't it?
Sometime.
Yeah.
It was never... It never became permanent.
Hmm.
I know some coaches liked the idea of having a thank because Berkshire County historically has never had Thanksgiving football.
Hmm.
Partially because of the weather.
Yeah.
And I don't know why else.
I know we shot one at Wacona one time, and I think there was another one at Mount Greylock one time, but it probably spotty, right? Not a long tradition.
And again, you're testing my memory because it's been a while.
Those are the ones I remember because I was out there freezing in the truck and running cables and things like that.
But it was so much of Thanksgiving Day games. Former St. Joe coach Gary Bianchi and Wacona coach Gary Campbell Jr. kind of wanted to have it, and they did that for a few years. And when Wacona would play St. Joe, they also play. It was a second game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't count in anybody's, for postseason stuff. But it was a second game. And then for a while, Wacona played Northampton in what has become the Route 9 Rumble game.
Uh-huh.
And then Northampton switched to playing, I believe, Amherst.
Okay.
So it's the Battle of the Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So that game is on Thanksgiving. and local teams have been left without dance partners, as it were.
Yeah, it does. It shifted a little a few years ago when the divisions changed, and we play the Berkshire County teams now play a lot more teams from the Pioneer Valley, and we're starting to figure out what those matchups look like and who becomes a dominant player in some of those. Wacona, in some ways, with a couple losses this year, right, looked like a different Wacona team than we had seen in the past.
They're good. They're not as good as they have been. Mm. I'm actually going to see their game tonight against East Longmeadow. But the thing about all high school sports, it's so much about the kids in the school.
Yeah.
How many kids you have, how many good athletes you have. You can have the best coaches in the world, but if you don't have enough players and enough good players,
right,
you don't get really, really good.
Yeah. And you have to have a pipeline, too, of training, right? You have to basically grow them up from young kids, you know, wanting to play football. And some of those opportunities seem to be going away. I don't know, you know, exactly what's available for kids now, but I think it may have changed over the years in terms of, you know, mothers and fathers wanting to put their kids, young kids, into situations that involve football. That's a bigger conversation, probably.
That's a much larger conversation, but it's fun. I'm at a soccer game a couple weeks ago, and it's a pretty physical game.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to a parent on the sidelines, I said, you know, Bill Russell is right, except I'll change the sport. Bill Russell used to say basketball is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport.
Mm.
And so if you are trying to get out, if you want your kids to play soccer because they don't want to get into a collision,
mm-hmm,
you're in the wrong place because they are physical sports. Football is, however, a collision sport.
What do you think of the introduction of the Guardian Caps? Because I think that's been a new presence, and there are some NFL players that are wearing them, quarterbacks, especially high school kids. I think it's becoming more common. Is that something that's going to help, or is it just sort of a red herring? It's still a collision, right? No matter what you put on your head.
It is still a collision. You must have read the story I wrote on Thursday.
I may have.
Where Pittsfield High School quarterback Marcus Jubry wears one in games.
Yeah.
I believe he's the only athlete in Berkshire County who wears one in a game. Several NFL players wear them in games, except the NFL have them, you know, made to look like the helmet.
Mm.
So, but you can tell what they are, you know, they look softer, but the high school kids and the college kids who may wear them have them, you know, in what they wear in practice with the bubbles and all of that. I don't know if it's going to be a real, you know, it obviously helps.
Yeah. Well, that's the question, right? If something actually helps, then why not? You know,
it's new technology. And I don't know how much research has been done as far as how much it helps, but anecdotally, players say it helps. Marcus told me that, you know, he took some hits during a couple of games and has been wearing it in practice for 2 years.
Yeah.
And said, and saw a kid on another team they were playing wear one. So he said, why not?
Good for him.
And his coach, Brian Jasuski, encouraged him once he went down that path.
Yeah.
To go ahead and wear it.
Like all new technology, it certainly could be adopted more over the years, you know, if it proves out to be something that's beneficial, just like any kind of new equipment. It just makes sense to consider it and move forward. It always takes a couple of pioneers, someone to say, you know what, this makes sense, let's do this.
Well, it also is if you know, helmets have changed so much, too.
Mm.
Helmets are much more concussion-friendly in the sense that you don't get them quite as easily.
Mm.
And they have been changing over the years.
Yeah, for sure. Howard Herman's my guest this morning, sports reporter for the Berkshire Eagle. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. Howard, staying with local sports here for a moment. There's a story in today's Berkshire Eagle about the Hoop Hall Invitational. Tell us about that.
Well, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame has for a couple of decades run the Hoop Hall Classic, which runs over Martin Luther King Day weekend. at Springfield College. And it is a tournament that, for the first 2 days, historically involved Western Mass and Central Mass boys and girls basketball teams.
Yep.
And then Saturday, Sunday, and Monday have, by and large, been the schools that are the big prep schools, the big powerhouse high schools that, you know, that turn out Division I players and NBA players. In fact, on a you go there on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and I don't know if you've been to Springfield College lately.
I haven't.
But in one end zone, they set up tables and chairs, and you can see coaches from like almost every major Division I college.
Wow.
They'll fly in, their assistants will fly in. I have I had on a number of occasions seen Coach K from Duke there. Jim Boeheim had been there. My favorite story of all time, I was going late in the day because actually on a Sunday night we had a game involving a local team. So I didn't go early in the morning. Get there, I was watching some of the Big Ten game on CBS, and they were playing Illinois. And Bruce Weber liked to wear this orange blazer when he coached. And I'm sitting in the gym, and who walks in but Bruce Weber, straight from that game, still wearing his orange blazer.
Wow.
But now, getting back to everything, as it has evolved, it seems like there have been more and more of these big-time schools coming. And as the story, as my story this morning,
it's kind of a growing event.
It's a growing event, and it's pushing out the Western Mass High School teams.
Okay.
So apparently the Hall of Fame realizes that, and because I haven't talked to anybody at the Hall of Fame, but they decided to come up with this invitational, which involves, I believe it's 48 boys teams and 18 girls teams or something like that, from 9 states in the Northeast.
Wow. So
and they're going to play at high school gyms across Springfield. And they'll play 2 games instead of just playing 1 game. So it'd be sort of like a tournament. So like if you're playing on Friday, you have a chance to play, or I believe it's Saturday, Sunday. Whatever the days are, Friday, Saturday, I'm not sure which off the top of my head now. But you'll get a chance to, if you win the first game, play for some sort of a championship. And I like the old hoop hall better, but you know, but if they're going to change the one, having this for the rank and file high schools is a really good thing.
Yeah, and the ones that have agreed to the invitation so far from your story are Hoosick, Pittsfield High, and Taconic, right?
Yeah, the Hoosick boys and the Hoosick girls are both going, and then the Pittsfield and Taconic boys.
Okay,
they are this year's invitees.
So they've accepted the invitation. It doesn't mean that they'll get the invitation every year.
No, because it has varied from, you know, teams have varied from year to year. I can remember, you know, the Hoosick boys played last year. The Pittsfield boys have played there. The Taconic boys, the Hoosick girls have played there. The Wakona girls have played there. In fact, I remember 1 year the Pittsfield boys played against Bishop Hendricken from Rhode Island in the hoop hall. The starting point guard for Bishop Hendricken was some guy named Joe Mazzulla.
How about that? You know, so and it's a big stage, right? It's fun to go and play. I'm sure that the teams are excited.
What I like, what makes this interesting is it was always Pittsfield's game was an exception. Last year, for example, Hoosick played Pioneer Valley from up in Northfield. I remember a couple years ago, Wakona played what is now, Springfield International Charter School, what used to be Sabus. So you're mainly playing Western Mass schools. Hoosick's playing a school from Connecticut, not even nearby Hartford, from down, you know, closer to New York.
Okay.
Everybody's playing somebody that A, they've never played before, and B, probably have never heard of. So I think that adds to the, you know, it's kind of fun. It's like when it's like those Christmas college basketball tournaments,
right,
where you end up playing somebody who you have no idea who you're playing.
Right. Except those games probably figure into their season win loss. Do these? Is this more of an exhibition?
I don't know. I don't not know the. I suspect that these will count because the MIAA does let count games against out-of-state teams that are in their state federations.
Okay. So it'll mean something. Yeah. Interesting. Howard Herman is our guest here this morning talking about, well, we're on local sports right now. I know after the break we're going to delve into the World Series and do a little post-mortem on that maybe and talk about the college football not playoffs yet, but we're getting there. We're deep into the season for college football, maybe touch on a little NFL while we're at it. Let's take that top of the hour break right now, and we'll come back with more with Howard Herman here on 89.7 WTBR-FM's Morning Drive. We'll be right back after this. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Sometimes I can't handle listening to that heavy of music.
Yes! Yeah, baby!
WTBR-FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Tim's Lawn Care. It's almost time for fall cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care also could take care of your landscaping and fall lawn care needs. Also, ask about commercial and residential snow plowing for the winter. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222, and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass. Now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR-FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Hello, Pittsfield families. Berkshire County Head Start services all of Berkshire County and is a comprehensive early childhood program providing education, health, and a variety of other services to children ages 2.9 to 5 and their families, with the help of dedicated and highly trained staff. Our programs offer evidence-based preschool curriculum to children through full-day and half-day options with meals included. Visit our website at berkhs.org or give us a call at 413-499-0137. We would love to hear from you.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you live and local this morning on Friday, November 1st, and we're waking up to a very warm morning, an unusually warm morning for November 1st, after a very warm Halloween evening last night. Hope everybody enjoyed that and giving out candy, or maybe you went out trick-or-treating. Good for you.
That's why I was late. I was out like till 11:30, you know, knocking on, but nobody was answering.
I had at least a couple of people at my door who were taller than me. I'm just saying, you know, so I haven't been trick-or-treating in a long time, but these folks, I think they had quite a take at the end of the night. Let's put it that way.
I am certain.
Let's do the weather forecast real quick here before we get back to our conversation with Mr. Howard Herman and all of the sports stuff that's going on right now. Let's hear from the National Weather Service and find out what's going on today and tomorrow.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny with a chance of showers this morning, then sunny this afternoon. Highs in the upper 60s. Temperature falling into the upper 50s this afternoon. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Much cooler with lows around 40. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Saturday, partly sunny. Much cooler with highs in the lower 50s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Sounds like that cold front's going to be coming through with a little bit of wind there, 20, 30 mile an hour gusts. Yeah, that would be what you'd expect to follow after a really warm period like this, for sure. All right, welcome back to Morning Drive. And Howard Herman, thanks again for joining me this morning here. Lots of stuff going on as usual. World Series just wrapping up. And, of course, the Berkshires being what it is, we have two kinds of baseball fans here mostly. Yankees and Red Sox fans, although there might be some Pirates fans
occasionally.
And Mets fans.
And Mets fans. There are a lot of Mets fans.
Yeah for sure.
Because especially...
And this year, what a great run the Mets had.
Yeah, and you know, and a lot of people became Mets fans because the Mets used to have a minor league team here.
Right.
And it was everybody's second team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were a Red Sox fan or a Yankees fan, and then you could be a Mets fan because they were in the National League.
Although it seems like, especially if you're a Yankees fan, you're probably not a Mets fan, right? You're one or the other of those two.
I would think that is more the case than not. But yeah, and
of course the Red Sox, having played the Mets in a very consequential World Series, it's hard to be both a Red Sox fan and a Mets fan. But I get the feeling that some Red Sox fans were pulling a little bit for the Mets this year.
Oh, I think everybody. I think a lot of Red Sox fans were pulling for the Mets because they certainly did not want the Yankees to win at all.
Right, right. And then a couple other surprising teams like the Tigers made a late season push. And Kansas City did okay this year, right? Some unusual names, but of course, at the end of the day, we still ended up with the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series.
The Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Mets, and I don't know which order, were far and away the three biggest payroll teams in baseball.
Yeah. And probably the Red Sox being four.
No, the Red Sox were not close anymore.
No kidding.
The Red Sox have not spent that kind of money in several years.
Wow.
They do not want it. They are willing to spend a lot of money. They aren't willing to spend that kind of money, or at least they haven't been.
Mm.
That might change because of the Yankees in the World Series and because of a few other factors. But I think everybody was, when they got to the League Championship Series, everybody was kind of rooting for the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah.
Because I think their payroll was under $100 million.
Mm.
And they're saying they're the underdogs.
Yeah.
And as I messaged out to several of my friends, I said, congratulations on those plucky underdog Dodgers winning it all.
And it's funny to see, too, because, so many of the players we've seen, you know, the Mookie Betts's and the who was the one that in game five just now went out on three strikes and closed out the World Series? Alex Verdugo.
Yes.
Former Red Sox player.
Yeah, although I don't think anybody is particularly unhappy, any Red Sox fans really unhappy that he's no longer a Red Sox player. Having said that, he is part of what has become the worst actual trade in Red Sox history.
Really?
Yeah, because Verdugo was the key piece in the trade that sent Mookie Betts to the Dodgers.
Ah, okay.
And as I've said to people often, I said, it is really a little crazy to think that catcher Connor Wong has become the centerpiece of what the Red Sox got in that deal. Because Wong's a good ball player.
Solid catcher,
he's a
right?
solid ball player. Mm-hmm. He's not a star, mm-hmm. but he's a good ball player.
Yep.
Mookie Betts is going into the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And at the time, and I have felt this for several years, that it isn't as much that they traded Betts. It's what they got in return.
Mm.
Because at the time, Verdugo was the centerpiece of that deal. So him being the centerpiece, you know, if you're going to trade away a generational player, you better get a generational player back.
Right.
And the Red Sox
did. Or at least something that can make a difference in that particular season to get you to the World Series or
more
something
than,
like
no,
that.
No, more than that. You need to do more than that. You need to get more than that back.
Mm.
And they didn't get, you know, they got guys back.
Mm-hmm.
And Betts is, you know, Betts now has three world championships, two of them with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Barring, you know, a sudden, you know, serious injury or collapse, he'll make it to Cooperstown.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll go in where he'll go in with an L and an A on his hat instead of a B.
Mm.
And that's to the never ending disdain that Red Sox fans have to have for Chaim Bloom.
Because
that's the one move he made that was god-awful. I know a lot of people who didn't like it at the time.
Mm-hmm. And nobody likes seeing, you know, one of the star players go to another team, especially a big, you know, competitor like that.
Yes, but like I said, you know, if you had gotten back a Hall of Fame caliber young player, who is turned into the next guy for that trade.
That looks like he has some foresight.
Then I'm okay.
Right? Yeah.
But they got guys, you know, and they certainly didn't make them better.
Mm.
And in retrospect, it's the worst trade any Red Sox general manager has made.
And that's saying something because there's been some pretty bad Red Sox trades over
the years.
There have
been. You know, people are starting to compare it to the sale of Babe Ruth to the Yankees.
Well, I think of Carlton Fisk, too. You know?
Well, Carlton Fisk, that was different because Carlton Fisk left on his own.
Free agent.
Because there was a mix-up in the contracts. And he went on to have a really good career Chicago.
Yeah, he did.
And he probably never should have left.
Mm.
But yeah, that baseball or lack of baseball move, and if you want to expand it to things, is on the Mount Rushmore of bad Red Sox baseball moves.
Well, we've got that to hang our hats on. But let's look at the World Series again, and not necessarily just Game 5, although that was certainly the consequential game that the Yankees gave up, let's say. I mean, really, they coulda, shoulda had that in the bag and gone on to Game 6 in L.A. But before that, you had some stuff, you know, the first three games were really dominated by the Dodgers and really kind of a milquetoast performance by a lot of the big Yankee stars, the ones that you'd expect to come alive in October, and they did not.
Until Game 5, Aaron Judge was squeezing his bats so hard they were turning into sawdust, figuratively speaking. I said to everybody going into this, well, I am not by nature a fan of power teams playing each other in a championship.
Mm-hmm.
This was the match. Everybody wanted, you know, Cleveland in there. Everybody wanted, you know, somebody who wasn't, you know, the Mets or the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And I said, no. I want the Yankees and the Dodgers. I want Ohtani, and I want Judge.
Mm.
The two best players in the game.
The ones we've been talking about all year long.
Yeah, the two obvious MVP candidates in their respective leagues.
Yep.
Until Game 5, Aaron Judge has done nothing in the playoffs.
Right.
Ohtani had a great playoff up until the World Series.
Yeah.
And then
he had the injury.
Then he goes and hurts himself and can't swing the bat and probably shouldn't have played.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything I hope for is out the window. But the first game of the World Series was a classic.
Mm-hmm.
The extra inning grand slam by Freddie Freeman was just a great decision. Mm. You know, great thing that happened. It was a great call on the broadcast. And
comparing it to Gibson, right, in 1988.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is not close to the greatest home run in World Series in World Series history.
But it was pretty good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
But it was only game one. Mm. I mean, the two greatest home runs in Red Sox in World Series history.
I think we
in
just mentioned
mind.
One person already. Well, there are You're two. Talk one, about that one.
One was Joe Carter.
Okay.
With the Blue Jays because he won the. It was Game Six, and that home run won the World Series.
Is that 91?
Yeah, in that neighborhood. In the,
yeah.
And the greatest home run in World Series history, 1960, Bill Mazeroski, Pittsburgh Pirates, 9-9 game, bottom of the ninth in Pittsburgh. He hits the game-winning home run that knocks the Yankees out in Game 7.
Hmm.
It's the only Game 7 walk-off home run in in World Series history.
All right.
Which is why it is still number one.
That's got to be number one. Where would you put the Carlton Fisk Game 6 1975 home run?
Oh, it's up there as a great home run. But remember,
Bob Gibson one.
It's still not. It doesn't decide any. It decides
Kurt
the game.
Gibson, yeah.
The Gibson home run was great, but I think that was game two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
just
like
a memorable moment.
It is
for
an
sure.
incredibly memorable moment. Yeah. It is like the Buckner ground ball.
Mm-hmm. In reverse.
But it's also like the Buckner ground ball in the sense that, yeah, it cost the Red Sox that game.
But that was game six.
It was game six.
Yeah.
And they were ahead in game seven.
Mm-hmm.
Win game seven, and Bill Buckner's on a duck boat, and none of it matters.
So you got a lot of chances still, right,
yes.
at that point. And that ties back to, the Yankees. You're already down three games to nothing. You win game four, so there's still a chance. And now you get to game five, and you're up 5-0.
You're up five. You're not only up 5-0, but Aaron Judge is homered.
Yeah, and Garrett Cole is perfect, basically, through four innings.
And he's mowing him down.
Yeah.
And then Garrett Cole has one of the great brain cramps in World Series history when he doesn't even go try to cover first base.
That was odd, right?
It looked odd,
yeah.
And that opened the door. And the next thing you know, it's tied. The game is tied.
And Aaron Judge dropping a ball, that was odd.
That was horrid.
Mm.
That was every bit as bad of an error.
How does something like that happen with someone? I mean, it can happen to anyone, right?
It absolutely can happen to anyone.
Is it nerves? Is it World Series stage? What makes that happen?
That I doubt, but it could have been. That could be part of it. He might have taken his eye off the ball for a second looking at the base runner.
Mm.
It's probably one thing, a combination of things, and the next thing you know, he's closing his glove before the ball and the ball hits off the glove and drops.
Yep.
You never see Aaron. I mean, earlier in the game, Aaron Judge robbed the guy of a home run.
Mm.
You never see what he did in a game.
Right.
You never see him do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. And so then it gets down, and it's a close one, right down to the ninth inning.
Right,
in that game.
Right down to the end, and Ferris Bueller strikes the guys out. Walker Bueller strikes everybody out to win the game in the ninth, and the Dodgers get to celebrate in Yankee Stadium, which, of course, for people of a certain age, is a great thing because Dodgers Yankees historically was the rivalry in New York. As much as it's Mets Yankees, don't think there's as much hatred's too strong of a word, but too much the fandom I think of Yankees Dodgers was far more vehement.
Dyed in the wool.
Yeah, it was far more vehement than Yankees Mets.
Mm-hmm. And the Yankees-Mets is a 64-year rivalry, whereas the Dodgers goes back much further in the history of baseball, for sure.
They do. Yeah. They do, and the Yankee, and everybody had, and of course, once upon a time, we all know that there were three teams in New York City, which is the thing that always amazes me about professional soccer in England. There are like five teams in London.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's a giant metropolitan area.
But still, I mean, New York's a giant metropolitan area. There are only two teams.
That's true.
New England is a giant metropolitan area, and there's only the Red Sox.
Right.
And there are two teams in the LA metro area.
That's true.
But there's like, you know, there's two teams in Manchester. There are three teams in the Manchester area. Yeah. There's like five teams in London. I don't get it. I don't understand where all these fans come from.
I have to do a trip and do some research on that.
We are on, my guy.
Some college football now with Howard Herman. Let's shift over to there. And it's been an interesting year. Some of the big players that you might have expected, and your Alabamas, for example, and your Clemsons, and some of the other teams have dropped away where, you know, Oregon being number one right now, you know, Georgia number two, even though they lost to Alabama, which is an interesting game there. It seems like Alabama's got Georgia's number. And, of course, all of this is headed toward the first ever 12-team playoff. And what's that going to look like this year?
Well, it's going to look like every team. It's going to look like 11 teams from the four power leagues, or as they like to call themselves, the autonomy four. They're going to be 11 teams there and one group of 16.
And which one's that?
I don't know.
It's
hard. It's still hard to say.
Yeah.
It was.
I'm reading the AP
three
top
weeks
25
ago.
Here.
It was 3 weeks ago. It might very easily have been Liberty.
But
Liberty has lost twice.
Right.
And a bad loss, too. They're out of it. It could end up being a service academy. It could, because Army and Navy are still undefeated.
Wow.
And they are liable to play each other like twice in 3 weeks because they are both members of the American Athletic Conference, and they are the two best teams in the America. They are both undefeated, and they are leading that league.
Yeah.
So they could end up playing each other for the championship game. Right after they end up playing the Army-Navy game.
Wow.
Which I believe counts in the league standings because they are, you know, both in the league now.
Yeah, I would think so. It's good to see both of those teams having a shot at it this year. Looking over, you know, the ACC teams, the only ones I see here are Miami and Clemson, right? They're the only ones that have broken that top 12. You certainly see your representation of SEC, you know, Big Ten, obviously Ohio State, Penn State, Big 12, right? Texas, Tennessee, Notre Dame still in there, even though they had a loss early and they were hoping for their play. So it looks like they may still make the playoffs depending on what the rest of the season looks like for them.
There's still enough. There's still like a whole month in November.
Hmm.
So there's still at least three or four games depending upon your schedule.
Yeah.
That thing, you know, it's like it's sort of like the late Alex Trebek in Double Jeopardy. It's time for Double Jeopardy where the questions are tougher and the scores can really change.
Yeah, I would think.
And that could happen in this as teams get down to the wire.
So the way it's going to be structured, if I understand it right, is that there's a first week of playoff games that don't involve, what, the top four teams?
I believe that is correct.
So you got eight teams playing each other in one round, and then you get the top four playing the lowest four in the next round, and then so how many weeks of this is going to be? 4 weeks of playoff?
Yeah, I believe that's correct. Mm. And it starts at home fields, and then eventually moves off to bowl sites for neutral games.
Mm. And so are we going to be arguing about the 13th team this year instead of the 5th team?
Don't we always? yeah. You're going to argue about that. You're going to argue that somebody deserves to be higher, somebody deserves to be lower.
Yeah.
It's going to be the basketball tournament on a smaller level.
Mm-hmm.
The unfortunate part, again, is that unlike the NCAA men's tournament and the women's tournament, where you get a lot of, you know, where conference tournament champions from every tournament get in. This one's going to be, you know, the fourth place team from the SEC, say.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they play really good football. But it's unfortunate. It's unfair in the bigger picture. It's not unfair to them. And in all likelihood, you know, if you put the top three group of five champions in there, one of them might get by.
Mm.
They should still be in there.
Yeah.
There should be fewer third and fourth place teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how good, you know, how well you've played over the year. If you don't win, you know, if you don't win or finish second,
mm-hmm.
You should not be in a playoff for a national championship, in my opinion.
And it'll be interesting to see also, you know, how many, what, three lost teams end up in that top 12? Is that even possible?
Well, what was that again?
A two-loss or a three-loss team?
It's entirely possible. It's entirely possible because of the strength of schedule, who they play, their powerhouse, nature, et cetera.
So if your losses are against other SEC teams, for example, you might still rise to that top 12 and find yourself in there, and then play your butt off and ended up in the college championship
because you did not do your job.
Mm-hmm.
You lost three games.
Yeah,
and you still might get in. Mm. And I know there's a formula, like there's a formula for the high school playoffs, and there's a formula for the, for the basketball tournament and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it's within the realm of possibility.
But there's still a committee, right?
There's a committee that's going to Mm-hmm. But that's why I always in basketball I have always said that the last eight at large teams.
Mm-hmm.
Are the ones that should play in Dayton.
Hmm.
Because they tend to send some teams there.
The play-in game.
That's for those first four games.
Yeah.
And they also send, the lowest level, conference champions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if someone, a team with a sub-500 record pulls an upset,
mm.
they go to Dayton.
Yep.
They should not. Mm-hmm. They should go to the first because they did their job.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the last eight at-large teams in the field of 68, you did not do your job.
Hmm.
You were getting in because of your name, your reputation, and the league you play in.
Right.
You didn't do your job. You didn't win.
Hmm.
And same thing to a lesser would be the same thing to a lesser extent in this one.
Well, I kind of
you have to do your job.
Yeah, that's kind of like the way things are going with bowl games these days too, where you're actually seeing some losing teams still play in a bowl because there are just so many bowl games.
And people want to see, and people watch them.
Of course.
And
even the ones in early December, right? On a Tuesday night.
Yeah, they don't have the same cachet that they used to.
Yeah.
In the sense that when I was a younger adult, I used to love to watch those December games because there were teams in there that you never saw.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I became an East Carolina fan.
Okay.
Because I would see East Carolina show up in these December bowl games, and they played really entertaining football, and you say, boy, they're fun to watch. Now everybody's, I don't know who isn't on network TV, somewhere.
Right.
On one of the, if you are home on a Saturday, you can sit in your den with your clicker and watch 30 football games or bits and pieces of 30 football games.
Sure.
You can just go ding, 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 starting at noon.
Yeah.
There are windows, noon and three, and they're all.
Hopefully you have a comfy chair and some chips and popcorn.
Well, yeah, exactly. But
you're going to be there a while.
It's why,
where it
now
used to
you
be,
see everybody.
Yeah, it used to be, decades ago that there was, one, maybe two games that you were able to receive. The ESPN effect has had a big change for college football. And
well, it's not even the ESPN. It's the everybody effect. Mm. If you wander around, there are college football games on True TV. There are college football games on that they do themselves on the CW network.
Mm-hmm.
They have a contract with a league for the games of the week.
Yep.
So they're every, the Fox games, the FS1 games, the various ESPN family of network games,
mm-hmm.
the SEC, the ACC network, the Big Ten network, what used to be the Pac-12 network for the late lamented Pac-12 conference. Scores of games every Saturday.
The Pac-12 actually might not be dead yet, strangely enough. You still got Oregon State and Washington State, and now it looks like they might be pulling some teams in from the Mountain West maybe recreate this conference. That's kind of – I didn't see that happening. I thought it was just going to fall apart.
Yeah, they're going to recreate it in name only.
Yeah.
It's not the Pac-12.
No.
And the idea, but then they'll and the idea to... that USC and UCLA are in the Big Ten is ludicrous.
Just and like Stanford and Cal being in the ACC.
Which might even be more ludicrous.
But we got to see our Syracuse team play Stanford, and we didn't do so well. Even though we should have been beaten Stanford, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah, oranges and trees. What could go wrong?
Well, Howard Herman, I want to say thank you for being here this morning. As always, it's a fun discussion. Didn't even get to the Patriots. It's probably for the best.
It is indeed for the best, the way they've been playing.
Yeah, maybe next year. We'll get another good draft pick, and we'll see what happens. Drake May is interesting to watch, though. I got to say that. All right, everybody. It's been great having you here, Howard. We'll do it again soon. And, folks, hope you have a great weekend. Get the lawn work done and the leaves all raked up, and enjoy the nice temperatures for a while. And we will see you again next week. Take care, everybody. Jack.